Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? It's really precious. The Lord loves to draw near us always. Not that we look for Him. The Lord is always waiting for us. We don't have to look for Him. As soon as our hearts draw near to Him, He is ready to draw near us. He is very happy to see our face and hear our voice. When we look upon the sky, to think of Abba and the Lord, then we know they are smiling to us. He is so happy to help us. He embraces us with a smiling face. His heart to you is full of appreciation. It's very important for your hearts to draw near to the Lord when you hear my sharing. It is your heart to come before Him. The Lord is everywhere. But the time when we draw near to Him, His presence is specially with you. He is right beside you. So when you hear my sharing, when you sing and worship, you have to experience He is right beside you, and He is watching over you sweetly, having the sweet thoughts of you. Let us sing a hymn in Songs of Love 192, Daily You Are Before Me. We will sing the first and the second stanzas.
Search no more, for daily You'll be for me. Closely, closely You look at me.
I hope you have time to draw near the Lord personally, or you can sing another song to worship the Lord. Let's come before Him face to face. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 9, verse 16 to 27. And He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it flows him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. And if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. We have reached to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 9. It is written the Lord Jesus would be suffered, tormented, and crucified, and he would arise. He told his disciples clearly in about 1 week. It mentioned after 6 days, the Lord brought Peter, James, and John to pray on a mountain. These three disciples had an unforgettable experience on the mountain, for the Lord transformed his image when he prayed. His clothes were as bright as the light, and they saw Moses and Elijah appear to them. They talked with the Lord Jesus, but what was their conversation? If you refer to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, it was about the death of the Lord Jesus. Elijah was the representative of the prophet. I can say Moses was the representative of the law. They were significant people across the Old Testament. And what were they talking about? What they were saying was the center of the Old Testament. It was about the salvation of God. It was very interesting for the Lord to have the transfiguration on the mountain. I was impressed by God, who liked these three disciples to be assured that the Lord Jesus was the Savior sent by God. I hope you don't get wrong for what I said. I don't mean that other disciples were not important. God has different commissions on every one of them, and every individual has different needs. I felt that God has personal love for every single one, in which I'm quite sure, and you can meditate as well. Why did the Lord choose these three disciples? What does it mean? Peter expressed that he really wanted to stay there and didn't want to leave during the transfiguration on the mountain. There was a bright crowd overshadowed them at that moment, and a voice came out of the clouds. This is my beloved son, listen to him. Then the clouds rose, and Moses and Elijah also disappeared. Only Jesus and his confused disciples were left there. Why did I say confused? Because I put myself in a situation that if I was one of them to see this vision, I would scream. Wow, what was going on for the thing I just seen here? Was I dreaming? The Lord Jesus was so glorious and brilliant. No wonder why Peter wanted to take tents and didn't want to leave that moment. I believe these three disciples were attracted by the glory of the Lord. John wrote the Gospel of John at his old age. It said, We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This experience was something that Peter, James, and John would never forget. Although some people think Peter was overreacted, yet I find the reaction of Peter was normal. It's just that the way his expression might go beyond your imagination. He longed to stay in that glorious moment. He longed for such closeness to the Lord. Do you think that's normal? Brothers and sisters, we should all desire to draw close to the Lord. Be drawn to his glory and stay in the light of his countenance. Brothers and sisters, we have experienced the closeness with the Lord more or less, where we wouldn't want to leave. Truly, we like to be close to him continually, or you may get so close to the Lord that you lost track of time, looking at the watch and finding out it was already late, without noticing the precious moment with the Lord passed so quickly. Did your heart ever capture by the beauty of the Lord? What are your thoughts on how these three disciples felt when they were living with the Lord after this incident? If it were me, I would think about the glory of the Lord who was transfigured on the mountain that day whenever I saw the Lord. I would be attracted by the Lord continually. On the other hand, you would know anything could happen. In Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verse 4 mentioned, And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter, James, and John had never thought of praying on the mountain and something would happen suddenly. Truly, we wouldn't expect the Lord to reveal greatly to our hearts when we draw near to the Lord or during our meeting. Since it is out of our expectation, we must come to the Lord. The more you go up to the hill, the more you will encounter the Lord. The more you draw near to the Lord, the more you will experience the Lord. The Lord knows the needs of every individual, and He knows our hearts. The Lord is the one who loves us most and longs to be close to us. What He wants most is to have a loving experience with us. Hence, when we draw close to Him, He will draw close to us. Jesus went down the mountain with His disciples after the transfiguration. What happened at the foot of the mountain? Verse 16 to 27 we have read speaks of Jesus healing a child who had a spirit. Before the Lord Jesus cast out the spirit for this little kid, in fact, all the disciples at the foot of the mountain tried to help this child, yet it was unsuccessful. You see, these two incidents happened at the same time. There was a strong contrast. The disciples on the mountain experienced a glorious moment, while the disciples at the foot of the mountain met with setbacks. In verse 18, said the disciples were unable to cast out the spirit and couldn't help the kid. As a result, there was a gathering of people and discussions among themselves. In verse 14 mentioned, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. In fact, the disciples were surrounded and questioned by the people. I felt it was so funny. Those disciples who were on a mountain with the Lord were so glorious. Yet the disciples at the foot of the mountain failed to help as they did not have the Lord. So I think my life is glorious only with the presence of the Lord, and I have nothing without His presence. I find the Lord is very good and awesome, for He knew when was the best time to go down the mountain. So don't worry, we never draw close to the Lord over time, for He will remind us, that's enough. Just when the disciples at the foot of the mountain were being surrounded and criticized, the Lord Jesus appeared suddenly. I believe that they breathed a sigh of relief. In verse 15 mentioned, and immediately all the crowd, when they saw Him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Him and greeted Him. As you can see from their reaction, the Lord Jesus should have appeared during the heated discussion. It was not too late and it was not too early. The Lord arrived just at the right time. I think about our lives. Brothers and sisters, you can be at ease. The Lord will come to rescue us at the appropriate time. Let us endure to the end. He will stand up for us. We shall meditate that the Lord will avenge us on that day. He will praise us and reward us before the whole universe. Sometimes we need to take notice when reading the Bible. For instance, when we read the miracles of the Lord, don't just focus on the content of that miracle. In fact, what attracts us most is the story behind this miracle. You will see the arrangement of the Lord and His heart for us. Brothers and sisters, as long as we keep focusing on the Lord when we read the Bible and come before the Lord from time to time to think of His love and His heart, it will be easy for us to enjoy what the Bible says at the beginning, middle, and end of the content. Hence, we don't just understand the Bible while reading it. The most crucial is you to draw close to the Lord and enjoy the love of the Lord through the Bible. I think there are several aspects of this miracle which are worthy for our meditation and enjoyment. Firstly, we have to pay attention to the presence of the Lord. The difference between being with His presence and without His presence is huge. The disciples on the mountain enjoyed the glory of the Lord and had His special presence with them. Yet the disciples at the foot of the mountain have no presence of the Lord with them. Hence, it is possible they had the deficiencies in facing the matter. Let us imagine if Jesus was with the disciples, and the father brought his child to find Jesus to help him cast out the spirit. Of course, the Lord Jesus could solve this problem together with the disciples and saved both the father and son from pain. They won't experience being surrounded or criticized by others. Hence, surely it is a matter whether the Lord is with us or not. Brothers and sisters, we need to practice and train our minds to pay attention to the Lord always and enjoy His presence with us. The Lord is everywhere. Surely He lives in our hearts. But have you experienced and enjoyed Him? Have you been trusting in Him? What I'm saying is, the presence of the Lord is not just He's here. It is the presence of the Lord that we have the communication and fellowship with Him. If He is just nearby and have no interaction with us, then this presence is meaningless. It's like the difference between the disciples at the foot of the mountain with the disciples on the mountain. In addition, the words spoken by the Lord Jesus are worthy for our attention. He especially mentioned faith. The Lord Jesus firstly groaned in verse 19 that it was a faithless generation. I think what the Lord Jesus talked about the faithless generation referred to those people rejecting God and not receiving Him. Of course, it meant they didn't accept Jesus and reject Him. They didn't believe that the Lord Jesus is Christ sent by God. He came to the earth and even performed miracles and wonders to preach God's words, yet those people reject Him. The Lord Jesus signed, "How long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" What the Lord Jesus spoke of was not a question, but a sign. How long will I have to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Even if it was a question, the Lord Jesus also knew the answer to this question. How long will He be there? He had to stay until His crucifixion. How long did He have to bear? He has to be patient until they believe it. Brothers and sisters, the love of the Lord for us will never change. He will love us to the end. The love of the Lord has no expiry date and will not expire. He will love us to eternity. In verse 23 mention, and Jesus said to the Father, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." He pointed out once again how important confidence is. Faith is the key of experiencing the Lord and enjoying the Lord. If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Those who have faith and trust in God will be able to solve all the problems. It is not the issue of capability, but God is able. My heart was very touched by verse 24, for it is written in some manuscripts, added with tears immediately. He spoke loudly, "I believe, help my unbelief." What a sincere response from his pure heart. He shedded tears because he knew he was inadequate. Truly, he believed the Lord and asked the Lord for help. The time to exercise faith may not be the time when you feel good or when you feel you're strong, but it is the time when you feel you're inadequate. If you want the Lord to help you, and you ask the Lord to help you, and this is the true faith. In fact, I don't understand the pain in this father's heart. Truly, he had the shadow, for it said this has been happening to the child since childhood. After all these years, it must be very painful being a father and a mother that his or her children suffer like that. I believe this father has spent all his money and energy to find the famous doctors to help his son. But what happened was more discouraged, more painful, and desperate over and over again. When he came to the disciples of Jesus and couldn't find help, the Lord Jesus told him to believe, but he said, "Help my unbelief." Truly, I understand the pain behind his words. If it were me, I would cry out loudly. I was so afraid that I have not enough faith and hurt his son. How precious in verse 24. The Lord cast out the unclean, mute, and deaf spirits from the child. The Lord Jesus made it very clear to the spirit never entering him again. This kid was saved, no longer to be disturbed by the unclean spirits. The child was like a corpse and stopped twisting. People thought he was dead. In fact, the unclean spirit had left and could not disturb him anymore. There was a very warm picture. In verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I believe that the Lord Jesus was the first to lift up his child and return the child to the hand of his father. As you can imagine, how would the father feel? He might be in exceeding joy and cried out loudly. Not only did he feel that the Lord Jesus was powerful, but was also so gentle, warm, and loving. Truly, he understood the heart of the Father. I shed tears while I'm sharing. When the Lord Jesus handed the child back to his Father, I believe the Lord will feel the love of the Heavenly Father for him. The Heavenly Father loves him so much. The Heavenly Father is not willing for the Lord Jesus to suffer. But the Lord Jesus is willing to listen to the voice of the Father. How precious! The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit love each of us boundlessly. In order for us all to return to the love of the Father through the Lord. Lastly, what I want to say is, brothers and sisters, we need to see that this is a spiritual battle. The enemy is a murderer who is very despicable, and I hate it. It didn't even leave the child alone. It wants to harm people and wants to destroy the plan of God. What it wants most is that man cannot enjoy the love of God. We have to be watchful in the last phase of the last age. We shall pray more. The devil and the enemy will go mad and attack the church. They will try their best to deceive the hearts of men. Just like there is a TV station which is going to broadcast some programs confusing the heart of men recently. We must rise up to deal with the work of the enemies and be alert. We shall draw near to the Lord and pray for yourself more. We shall pray for the world as well. The Lord has won. He had defeated the devil on the cross. The Lord Jesus is the victorious King. We can overcome when we trust in him. And he has given us authority to trample serpents and scorpions. Brothers and sisters, I hope the Bible you read today will help you to see the glory of the Lord, his love and his might. May you enjoy deeply in him. That's all for my sharing. Remember, I really like that you are able to draw close to the Lord personally. This precious moment couldn't be missed. May the Lord bless you.